as we think about, you know, the race that God has given us, he has given us a race that the most powerful thing about this race is not who comes in first place or who comes in last place, but in this race, all you got to do is finish it. That's all you got to do is finish it, and you're a winner.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled, Beginning with the End in Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the fine art of finishing well.
They started to walk away from the city. They were all in one accord. They were all in unison. They all started well. But Lot's wife looked back and became a product for molten salt. She turned back. Saul, nobody, just think, Saul was the first king of Israel. And God was with Saul. And through a series of disobedient acts, Saul fell away from God. And the ultimate act is that Saul went down and he sought advice from one of the devil's counselors, the witch at Endor. So, you know, I was listening to Dr. Harold Wilmington, and he was talking about Saul, and he said this: no man ever started so good and finished so bad. Wow. How would you like to have that testimony throughout eternity? That no man ever started so good and finished so bad. And yet and still, I see God's people all the time. They start out in this Christian race, they start out trusting Christ, and then all of a sudden, they get caught up with the devil's advice. The devil becomes their counselor. And every time you listen to the devil, now the devil might not, as I said a couple of weeks ago, have pointed ears, a pitchfork, a tail, and a red suit. That, you know, that's not, sometimes the devil's name is your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Sometimes the devil's name is somebody that's trying to get you to do wrong. And so people take advice, they take counsel from the devil, and they start out in this Christian walk, and then all of a sudden they start listening to the wrong things, and the next thing you know, they turn aside, like Saul. No man ever started so well and finished so bad. What about Judas? Judas was called by Jesus Christ to be a disciple. He saw Jesus feed the hungry. He saw Jesus give sight to the blind. He saw Jesus raise the dead. He was around and saw all these things. He started so well, but he got greedy for money. And he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And as a result of that, he went out and committed suicide. Judas did not finish well. These are examples for us to look at, because it's very easy for all of us to not finish well. One of the greatest football coaches of all time, one of the greatest college football coaches of all times, was a coach for Ohio State named Woody Hayes. This guy put all kind of players into the NFL. He went to just about every bowl game that you could. Couple years in a row, he won the national championship. He was one of the greatest coaches that ever lived. And the last year that Woody Hayes was coaching, I think they were playing for the Rose Bowl. I'm not sure about that. But his team was winning. And a player on the opposing team got the football and was running for a touchdown. And was going, if he would have scored the touchdown, the other team was going to win. And Woody Hayes went out. And back in the day, we call it yoking them, right? Yoked him. The coach came off of the sideline and knocked the player down. And now all the great things that Woody Hayes did, all the stuff that he did, he's only remembered for one thing. Yeah, that was the guy that went out and knocked the player down when he was running for a touchdown. You see, You can start well. You can start well and finish bad. That you've got the purpose in your heart that you're going to complete this race, that you are not going to be sidetracked. Judas didn't finish well. The Galatians, they started out believing in Christ by faith. And then they had some folk come along and tell them, well, you know, faith is not the only thing, that you got to add some works in there, that you got to work and you got to keep the law. And look what Paul tells them in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians 5 and verse 7. Look what he said. You did run what? Well. You ran well. You were in the race. You were doing good. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? You were running so well. Let me say something to the young folks here, to the young people in the choir, young people sitting out there. You know, it disturbs my spirit. It disturbs my heart that you have young people grow up in the church and then go off to college, and some knucklehead professor tell you that all the stuff that you learned in Sunday school is just a bunch of myth. They tell you that it's just a bunch of fables, it's just a bunch of stories. No, it's not bad that they're telling you that, because that's what they're going to do. That's what they do. I was in college. 4 years, I went to a secular institution, and I heard all of that. But the problem is that these young folk are buying and drinking the Kool-Aid. Look, let me say something. That it amazes me to hear young folk say, well, you know, I'm in college now, and I don't believe all that stuff that we was taught in Sunday school. You ran well. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Man, one of the reasons that, and I said this last week, that my heart is heavy, and I'm burdened for folk who are being deceived. And that's why, you know, God has put me on this writing path to get these books out. And like the book that's getting ready to come out in a couple weeks, talking about the inspired word of God, I run into young African-American men all over this city who tell me that they don't believe the Bible because information was left out, because there are lost books that are not included in the Bible, that people tried to keep things out of the Bible because they didn't want us to know it. And so they don't want to grab a hold of the Bible. And so I wrote a book that addresses that very issue. Every objection and everything that they could say about the Bible not being complete, lost books, I include it all. So that now, if you run up against somebody that got that argument, it's like they say, you know, well, you know, Constantine, who was the emperor, that he kept certain things out of the Bible. And because he didn't want the other people to know. Well, I did the research. Constantine had nothing to do with what went in the Bible. But yet and still, I've had people tell me that. I've had people tell, well, you know, Constantine kept stuff out of the Bible. Constantine didn't even have anything to do with the Bible. But that's what I'm saying. These young folk are out there, and they're drinking the Kool-Aid. You ran well. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Don't let go of your Christian roots. Don't let go of what you learned in Sunday school. Don't let go of what the Sunday school teacher taught you. Don't let go of what you learned in KUC. Don't let go of what you learned in kids worship. Don't let that stuff go. Hold on to it. And if you hear of somebody that grew up here at Bethany, and now they're out drinking that Kool-Aid, you need to tell them, you need to talk to Pastor Glaze. You need to talk. Now, and you know what I'm, what did the professor say? What did he or she say that caused you to not obey the truth? And let's sit down and talk about that. Because you are making decisions with some bad information. And what's happening? That you're returning. You're turning around. Paul said, if you want to finish well, that there's no return. You ran well. Who did hinder you? And then Demas. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Demas started out well. Demas started out running the race. But look what happened. He was one of Paul's boys. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Why did Demas turn around? Because he loved the world. He loved the highlight. He loved the glitter. He loved the glitch. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a good time. There's nothing wrong with enjoying parties. Nothing wrong with those type things. The problem comes is that when you begin to love it so much that it turns your heart away from God. There are some folk that are not here today, not because of the cold, not because of the snow, because they party too hard last night. And instead of them making a priority to be here, they're trying to sleep off something that happened last night. You ran well. Who hindered you? See, folk love the world. And when they love the world, then what happens? They return. They go back. Now, again, nobody loves a good time more than me. So I'm not here to knock a good time. I'm not here to knock, you know, getting with your friends. I think it's all right. All right? Now, as long as you're not doing anything that you're not supposed to be doing, I think it's all right. All right? Now, but when the party life begins to take your heart away from God, which I see it, you know, you go on college campuses today. What's the, I can't think of the missionary who was here, not this past year, but the year before. He was talking about he took his daughter to the campus, and they had the party bus. Right? Yeah, Gilmer. The party bus. So here you have been in somebody's church all your life, under your parents' guidelines, jurisdiction, and you have obeyed. And now all of a sudden, you go to the college campus, and the party bus is coming along, taking you to the party so you can get drunk. The party bus. Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. And how many people have, how many students have turned their hearts away from God when they went to college? Because they loved the world. They couldn't wait. Now, I'll be honest. I know when I went to college, I went for two things, to play football and to party. That was it. But I thank God somewhere along the way, he slapped me and woke me up, and I saw that there's more. I better be getting more out of this than what I'm here for. And so don't let the world cause you to return. Don't let the world turn your heart away from God. And so we see here that there are many people who don't finish well. And you can stop and think. Just think in your family. Think of your children, your cousins, maybe even your brothers and sisters. Just think for a minute. Can you think of somebody that didn't finish well? I know there's people popping up in my mind right now. Now, hopefully, at some point, they can get back on the track. That's the beautiful thing about it. You can get back on the track. But there are a lot of people that are not finishing well. And so, this is a serious issue. Now, somebody said that if you're going to finish well, it takes three things. It takes character, it takes sacrifice, and it takes tenacity. Well, Paul had all three. That's why he finished well. He had character. This means that you are not driven by your emotions, by convenience, or popularity. Just think about that list of people we just put up. Many of them was were driven by emotions, convenience, or popularity. Paul has some character. He has some backbone. He said, I got some fight in me. And I'm not going to let anybody distract me from the left or to the right. He said, I'm not going to be emotion driven. I'm not going to be popularity driven. I'm not going to be driven to please other people. That, you know, I know who I am, I know what I'm about, and I know that I have a relationship with God, and that's what's going to drive me. That's what my fight is all about. And everybody in here, if you're going to finish well, you need to have some character about you. People that will compromise at the drop of a hat. You don't have any character. You need to have some backbone. You need to be able to stand up that when you know what you know, that you know is right. And that when people come and try to talk you off of that, that your character ought to kick into place. And you ought to say, no, I know who I am. And I refuse to bow down and bend to doing the wrong things. You got to have some character. Paul had character. You know, you got to have some fight up in you. You know, even like I said, when it's not popular, you got to have some fight to say, I'm not, you know, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. And I'm not going to compromise. You know, what I believe. Second thing, you got to sacrifice. Paul, he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to do whatever it took to accomplish the goal. He said, I'm ready to be offered up. Now, I already explained to you about that whole concept of what that means, the drink offering. He said, I'm ready to be offered up. So in order for you to finish well, it may take some sacrifice. I got my book back last night, and I got about 70-some footnotes, and I went back through it, and I saw that for footnoting a particular thing, I had used the wrong format. 2 hours. 2 hours. I could have been in bed. I could have been asleep. You got to sacrifice, you know. In order to get where you're going to go, there has to be some sacrifice that's made. And if you are going to finish well, then you got to look at your life and you got to ask, watch this. I like this right here. You got to ask the question, what do I have to give up to go up? Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good, Pastor Glaze. That's good, man. What do I have to give up to go up? My. See, if you're going to finish well, then there's going to be some sacrificing that needs to be made. And then the third thing is tenacity. And that is, he did not tire or quit until he finished the job. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. I heard the story about this evangelist. And every day he had these big Rottweilers. And every day there was this little boxer. He would come along and he would jump over the fence. And these Rottweilers, man, would just beat him down. And then he would jump back up and leave. Next day he came, same thing happened all over again. An evangelist had to go on a revival to preach. And he went on a revival, and he was gone for about a week, and he came back, and he asked his wife, is that same little boxer still jumping over the fence down there? She said, no, he's not doing it anymore. She said, about the third day after you left, he jumped over there, and then Rottweilers just got tired of beating him down. And he jumped over, and he started barking at them. They just sat back in the corner. That's tenacity. You know, when you getting beat down and you still keep coming, that's tenacity, man. You got some fight in you. Paul said, I got some fight. Paul, my. He was shipwrecked. He was almost drowned at sea. He was forsaken by his own brethren. In countries where he went, people didn't like him. One time, he was stoned. They stoned the man and thought he was dead. Other times, he was beaten with whips. But he what? He kept getting up and he kept going. That's tenacity. That's tenacity. So when Paul says, I have kept the faith, I have finished the course, that's what he was talking about. He said, I'm like that boxer. I was beat down. Them Rottweilers was beating me down. But I kept going in there after. I didn't stop. And whatever it is that God has called you to do, if you're going to finish well, you got to be tenacious. You got to keep moving. And then finally, if you're going to finish well, when you come to the end of the project, cutting your grass, whatever it may be, no regrets. No regrets. Look what he says. Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul realized. Now, can you imagine? Check this out. Paul realized that in a few days, he was going to be standing before the Lord. He understood that. Now, you know, it's something, you know, to think about that, knowing that you're going to die. He knew that he was going to die. And he knew that in a couple days, he was going to stand before the Lord. And Paul says, I have no regrets. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord because he's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which he's going to give me, and he's going to give to all those who love his appearing. I have absolutely no regrets that when I stand before the Lord, because I know I gave it all, I didn't return, and now I'm going to stand before him in a few days with no regrets. I close with this illustration, and I've shared it before. When I first came to Bethany back in 1990, I remember going to visit one of the saints. And when I went to visit this saint and walked in to the room, this person began to cry. And I didn't know why they were crying. And as I came and sat down by the bedside, the person said to me, Reverend Glaze, that I've been in Bethany a long time. And all the time I was there, I didn't do anything. And now here I am in this bed. I'm sick. I can't do anything. And I feel so bad. I have all kind of regrets that I didn't do what I could have done when I had my health and strength. You know, don't be like that. Don't be like that. And I'm not, you know, again, I'm not just talking about serving at Beth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about live your life in such a way that when you come to the end, that there may be some minor regrets that you have. And you might look back and say, well, I wish I'd have did that different. I wish I'd have did that. But as far as your life is concerned, that you can look back and say, I have no regrets. You know, there's a lot of things in my life I wish I hadn't have done. But one thing I don't regret at all, I don't regret at all, and that was accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't regret that at all. There's no regrets. And I know when I stand before the Lord, he's going to welcome me into his kingdom. Don't leave this life with serious regrets in your life. Paul was able to walk away from this saying that the time of my departure, that I'm getting ready to be loose from the harbor and I'm getting ready to sail off into regions unknown. The time of my departure is at hand, and I have no regrets. Can you say the same?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. This concludes our series titled Beginning with the End in Mind. Tune in next time as Dr. Glaze continues to anchor your soul in Jesus. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Fine Art of Finishing Well, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fine Art of Finishing Well. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fine Art of Finishing Well. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.